The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Man, I don't care if they run that. they won't. But I try to keep it conversational. I stay out of the way entirely. Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest today is Alpharetta-based business owner Lamar Wakefield. Lamar, welcome in.
Thank you, Ben. I'm glad to be here.
You look nervous over there. Are you nervous?
Not at all.
Not when it comes to me. Tell me this. For those of you who don't know, who have been around North Fulton for a long time, Lamar was the co-founder of Wakefield Beasley & Associates, which was a worldwide architecture firm based right here. He is somewhat of the, I won't say brainchild, but he has a lot of things that you have seen and done that are projects that he created and developed. One of them's Avalon. One of them's the Battery. If you drive west to Tuscaloosa, you pass the massive Mercedes plant on the left on 2059. Then, and there's 100 of them. So in the world of real estate in Atlanta, I have to just introduce you as a guy who's probably on the Mount Rushmore, which you will take exception to. But I just wanted to, you know, sit down and talk to you. If you need help with zoning or something, you're a very easy guy to reach. If you don't, you are incredibly elusive.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Lamar, tell me real quick about how you got educated, interested in architecture, at real estate development and all those things as a child. You know, what drew you? What drew you to where you are? I think entrepreneurs are fascinating people.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm from Atlanta originally, born in Cabbage Town. Our play days were over at Grand Park, and used to go to the Sears Building, which is now obviously Ponce City Market, and to watch the baseball team play there at Ponce de Leon Park. Moved to Decatur, really near Avondale High School. When I was in elementary school, went to Avondale, went to Georgia Tech in their architecture program. But Ben, early on, I mean, I could always draw. And so whether it was just animation kind of stuff that I would do, but even when I'd be in the fourth grade, and this was an elementary school that went through the seventh grade back then, I would be doing all the seasonal picturesque kind of entry features in the main hall. Whether it was Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, whatever, I'd be drawing all those things from just scratch. So I could always draw. I was good at math, and just had this idea of building things and wanted to work construction, which I did. I really wanted to learn how buildings went together, which I did. Had some really good opportunities afforded me from different friends that were in the construction business that allowed me to work there for the summers and in my break time. So, you know, very much a lower middle class family, to be honest with you. Paid my way through school. You had to work after you got your professional degree. You had to work 3 years for an architect. So I worked for several, but one was Jim Chapman & Associates. That's where I met John Beasley, who was 8 years older than me. And you had to work a 3-year apprenticeship to be able to take a licensing exam, which at that time was given once a year. I think you can take it every day online today, but the floodgates are open. But anyway, I wasn't eligible to take it in Georgia by a couple of months when they gave it in February. And so one of my professors at Georgia Tech got Rocky Rothschild, which was the old Finch, Alexander, Barnes, Rothschild, and Pascal Fabrap, wrote me a letter to allow me to at least be considered to take it in Florida. I was eligible to take it in Florida. And through NCAARB, I could be registered anywhere after that. So I wanted to take the test because...
You were ready.
No, I wasn't ready. I just, nobody passes it the first time. So I thought, I'll go do this. I'll go to all these seminars. I'll read all these self-help books. I'll take the test, and so I'll know how to study for it next year. That's what I thought. And so I went to Florida. It's a five-day deal. Took the test. You know, a couple of months later, I passed.
Oh!
So I thought that was very unusual. So I did a really not a very wise move. I quit my job, and I started opening my firm out of my apartment. And fortunately for me, 3 or 4 months later, John Beasley came to me. We went fishing one Saturday, and he said, "How's everything going?" And I said, "Well, it's going all right, I guess, John." He said, "Well, I guess it is. Everybody at the office is working for you at night." I said, "Well, everybody needs extra money." And he said, "How would you like a partner?" So it was very, you know, flattering for me at that point in my career to have this guy who knew the ins and outs of contracts and general conditions and professional practice, and all the things that went into insuring and stuff. And I just had a lot of vinegar and...
They don't teach you that stuff in school?
No.
Yeah. I believe you.
So at any rate, we started in June of 1980.
If you're in downtown Alpharetta and you like seafood, you need to go see my friends Travis and Andy at Chiringa. And if you are making vacation plans this spring or summer, you need to go down to 30A, my buddies at Grayton Beach, in the sister restaurant Chiringa. Get yourself a frosé. There's nothing better. Talk about your time at Georgia Tech. Do you think that for kids out there, I've got people all over the country that listen, when you look at that, how much of your educational background do you credit to what you learned then and your ability to learn?
Yeah, well, I would just say make a general statement in architecture. It's probably true in most colleges, but at Georgia Tech, when you get out of that program, you've got a work ethic, because if you don't, you're not getting through that program. We had 222 kids. You're going to laugh about this, but this was the last year you actually signed up manually for college. Right? It wasn't computer. And so...
Well, back in the 50s.
1971, right? So our first class, we had a lab every day from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. And so... Our first class, all the professors were up there, and we were all in the architecture auditorium. They said, "Look, we made a mistake. We've let in 100 more kids than we were supposed to let in. It's just an error. And so we have 222 kids. We need to get it to 122. And so we're going to go through a series of weeks here to see who wants to be an architect." Okay. So they gave us a program. Everybody had the same program, whether it was a small building on a site somewhere with some floodplain or whatever. That was on Monday. They gave it to us and said, "You will be juried on this. We'll divide up the professors we have into 5 different spots. Take all you guys, and we'll jury you, and no one can leave until everybody's got their grade on Wednesday night." So and we're going in alphabetical order, and I'm W, so that's not good. So, you know, you went to class on Tuesday, stayed up all night Tuesday night, went to class on Wednesday, essentially got juried at 6 o'clock. About 6 o'clock that Wednesday night. We'd finish about 9:30 or 10. They gave us another project due Friday at 6. So you go crash, stay up all night Thursday night, get juried Friday night, give you another project due Monday at 6, and then we'll have a project due Wednesday at 6, and then Friday at 6, and then Monday at 6. Well, anyway, after 3.5 weeks, we had 122 kids. Okay, and graduated 16 out of that. So it was a tough, a lot of it was because of the math and physics and chemistry that everybody had to take, and had a lot of talent there that couldn't get through that part of it. So it was quite a challenge. It was fun. And, once you get out, though, you have a work ethic for sure.
As you get out and you go to work with John, you guys grew that architecture firm to how many people?
We ended up, when we merged with Nelson, we had 5 offices and about 230 people.
So that is, and it was a nationwide. It was a nationwide deal as you guys went and got acquired. You've done projects all over the world.
We have. We've done big projects in Dubai, in Egypt, Zambia, projects in India, certainly all over. We had an office in Panama City, Panama for 12 years. So a lot of work around the world, but mostly in the United States.
I'll bring it home real quick. Some of the projects that you guys will know off of just being a resident in the Southeast are Avalon is one you were the architect of.
Right.
The Battery in Atlanta, which has all of a sudden become very famous. You probably, when that first came to you, were probably like, that sounds neat. And then, the other one that comes to my mind off the top of my head is the Mercedes plant in Tuscaloosa, which was the first time I believe they had ever offshored a vehicle into the United States, and they called you to go create their SUV plant.
That was an interesting project. Worked with Harbert on that deal, and great, great general contractor. You mentioned the Battery. When we did Avalon with Toro, we took 6 different trips with our team, and we visited 67 of the best vertically integrated mixed-use deals in America, and met with their general managers, talked about the success and the failures and the mistakes and what the positives were. With our team especially, if we sat in a great space, we would laser tape it and photograph it and catalog it. And if we sat in a really bad space, we would laser tape it.
Photograph
and catalog it. So we had thousands of pictures and understanding before we even started Avalon. And when the Braves came to us, we had finished phase one of Avalon there to the Tesla store. And Mike Plant and Terry and Derek were asking, why would we hire you to do this, our project, our mixed-use deal, not even knowing the name was the Battery yet. And my answer was, it's not the 81 days you're playing baseball, it's the 284 days you're not playing baseball. That's the reason you need to hire us, because we're placemakers. We understand how to do that. And they pretty much hired us on the spot. And it's one of those projects which, if you understand merchandising versus leasing, which is the key to these mixed-use deals, it's about extending dwell time by promoting cross-shopping. You do that through merchandising. At the same time, these retailers have to check every box, or they're not going to committee to get shut down. So when we started the Battery, I told Mike Plant, we're not going to get any soft good retailing here. He said, what do you mean? I said, we're not going to get any women's or men's fashion. Why is that? I said, well, because they got to check every box in a 3 and 5 mile radius. And if you go north on 41, about 200 feet, it's not very good.
No.
So
it's not the demographics you just write home about as like the bell cow project of a lifetime.
That's right. So at any rate, obviously they were great in Alpharetta, spectacular, right? In fact, I'll tell you this, Ben, when we were resurrecting the old Prospect Park and doing Avalon, we still had strong interest from Whole Foods. And so we do a 3 and 5 mile radius for all the other retailers, but Whole Foods was a 10 mile radius. That's a 20 mile circle. They know women will drive 10 miles if they think it's healthier for their family. They know that, and so they want a 10-mile radius. Well, that 20-mile circle in 2012 was the wealthiest 20-mile circle in the United States, period.
I've heard you and Mark say that.
Yeah.
You said it was just easy to sit there and nail down. And Mark's a friend of the show. Hey, Mark. But let's keep it at the Battery for a second.
Okay.
When do the Braves come to you? Or do the Braves go to, how does that, it was a secret until it was done. I felt like, I remember the day it was announced listening to Sports Talk Radio, because I think the people in Atlanta were shocked. But if you can divulge details on how that came about, and there's a couple of, I know there were a bunch of Cobb County commissioners that ultimately wound up getting voted out of office and sitting on the backside of my elected city council term. I look back and think, that was like the best deal you could ever cut for your community.
Well, I mean, we didn't talk to anybody about bringing the Kia plant to Georgia either.
Right.
And that was all secret negotiations. And there's plenty of them going on today for another automobile manufacturer that's hopefully going east of town. I say that to say they should build a statue to Tim Lee.
Absolutely.
And he's passed away now, but this is an amazing leadership. we looked at several sites, one of which was the GM site.
In Doraville?
Yeah, I mean, it was the best site. It was north of town directly, MARTA, Frontage Road, Peachtree Boulevard, Buford Highway, 285. It had everything except for 330 million reasons we went to Cobb County.
Right. When you talk about, and we agree, because I think one of the things, you know, Tim and they all more or less wound up getting run out of town over the Braves deal, right, wrong, or indifferent. I would say, sitting here, when you talk about subsidies and tax abatements, 100% of zero is zero.
That's correct.
And I don't understand how that ever was so contentious. You were moving the Southeast's premier professional franchise to demographics that were your constituents anyway. People were driving from Canton and Dallas and Alpharetta and all Smyrna and all those places, and you just dropped it in their backyard to make their life easier. Yet it wasn't a popular thing at the day. I think if you look back now, just having won a World Series, I think there were plenty of people who went to the ballot box 10 years ago and probably want that one back.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, it's if you look at the payback on the bonds that were passed there, it's remarkable.
It couldn't help but be.
It really is. And, you know, the Braves did extensive research into where their fan base was, and that's pretty much dead zero of where the center of their fan base is and their season ticket holders. So, It was a great project. We've been contacted by a variety of other teams, including the Brewers and the Diamondbacks, the Titans, the Magic, the Angels, and have done plans for those guys so they can try to figure out how they can take a parking lot as an example. Right, we did it for the Broncos as well. How can we take a parking lot? This is giant asphalt space and create a vertically mixed-use deal there with parking that works like we have at the Battery. So we'll see how those things get pulled together, but it was a big stepping stone for us for sure.
When you look as an architect in general, and we have many of the same friends in the guys of Brad Smith at TPA, and you know where I know your son is. Hits where he's hanging his shingles.
That's right.
And we've got, you know, Tim Evans. What's your favorite type of project to sit there and look at? Because I think what puts you on the map in Atlanta isn't necessarily what you love to do the most. Can you talk to me at a guy who's divested from a business, but he still has a huge stake, has been the Atlanta Business Chronicle CEO of the year? Like, what does Lamar Wakefield wake up and still want to chase?
Just that list of projects I gave you. You know, we started our vertically integrated mixed-use career with Atlantic Station. And we just finished the last office building there that Microsoft took the whole thing, 350,000 feet, called Atlantic Yards. It's a great project. Love seeing these projects evolve over time and what happens when you get a community rallied around, just like here in Alpharetta, to get a new convention center in phase two with that Hotel Avalon. It's just spectacular. And we're getting ready to make a couple more announcements at the Battery that are going to be really...
You're definitely selling high right now, brother.
I'm just telling you, these are big-time announcements that are getting ready to come out of the Battery. It's going to really be cool with more corporate headquarters. And so I love those kind of evolving projects and letting the market dictate and change. You know, like when we did the little project Halcyon up 400, which is incredibly successful as far as attendance. It's very gritty. It's different. It's local. But it's the point is the fundamentals are the same.
Their town green is out of this world.
It's fantastic. So we're getting these little town centers around the state. We're doing one for the city of Noonan currently. We're doing one for Dallas, Georgia currently. We're doing one for Union City currently. We're doing one for Manchester, Georgia. just a town center. They're there. People want it, and they want to be able to walk to it. So it's all these trail systems that are happening. Got the link down to Noonan. Obviously, our Alpha Loop here is amazing in Alpharetta, the big greenway that it ties into. Huge value creators with trail systems. And so people are – I met with Woodstock last week about helping them with some final plans for their downtown. So love working on those kind of things. Obviously, we have a lot of bread and butter things that we do, Ben. I mean, if you once we merged with Nelson and our interiors group, and they had purchased Vinnendahl Cave 3 or 4 years before that. So all of a sudden, we had the largest interiors group in Atlanta by far, probably doing about 62 or 3% of the landlord rep in the whole city. So that's a lot.
That is a lot. When I asked the question about, you know, your vertically integrated mixed use, you're still very much into the manufacturing facility. You're a huge conduit to bringing really, really large projects to the state of Georgia and the Southeast with respect to your Kia plants, your unnamed automobile manufacturers that want to locate east of the city that may have electric components to
Maybe.
we won't push that one out there. You guys can figure that out at home. Talk to me about what you see with the diversity of product mix in the state of Georgia. Where do you see the most? I would imagine most of your requests are still town center mixed use developments, but do those projects still carry tremendous influence? You know, command. Do they excite you when you look at bringing automobile manufacturing and just, I mean, millions of square feet?
Absolutely, we love helping the state. We've been a partner with the state for years and years. Even when Cooper Lighting decided to break a union in Chicago and move their stuff to Peachtree City, and how the DOT improved the road systems, and you know all the incentives we gave Cooper Lighting to come down here and create 1,500 jobs, right, and do their corporate headquarters. It's really exciting to work with companies like that. I'll make a general statement that's so intriguing. To me, after Microsoft took Atlantic Yards, they've hired us to redo the plaza that's between those two buildings that are connected by an overhead bridge. And the whole notion here is, talking to the Microsoft folks, is that, look, we want to have water, we want to have music, we want to have great outdoor furniture, shade structures, roll-up doors. We want to have all these things because we feel like that remote working is necessary to recruit and retain if you're going to get the right kids. If you're going to get the right kids, you got to offer them that option. We want to make this so cool that you want to come to work because they, like me, think that working remotely is not very efficient. Most of the time, I cannot mentor a kid on a Zoom call. I can't show them a bad water intrusion detail on a Zoom call. I need to be there with them to talk about design, proportions, all those different things. So I said all that to say that Microsoft told us, look, we're putting a stake in the ground in Atlanta. This is our eastern hub. We bought the Teixeira's piece for a reason. We're going to spend a bunch of money out there. The idea that diversity and inclusion is the number one goal for all of Fortune 500 America is absolutely a fact. And here's the difference this time. Before, there's a place on your website where you say we're going to check a box because we're going to push for diversity and inclusion. They're going to do it this time. They're going to do it. So we're going to have a tsunami coming to Atlanta and Dallas and Charlotte, specifically to Atlanta and Dallas because of our airports. But I'm talking about...
And right to work.
And right to work. Right. But they're coming here because these kids, we have the most historically black colleges of any
right
nation, any city in the nation. And you have the kids of color that go to Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State, Emory. It's an incredible a mass of wonderful talent that these kids, they're going to come here, these companies, and they're going to make it their core value. That's just what it is.
If you're in North Fulton and you're in need of a golf cart, contact my friends at Low Speed Vehicles of Alpharetta, your place for easy-go golf carts. There are geographic centers of the country. Los Angeles is the capital of the West Coast. New York is the capital of the Northeast. Atlanta is absolutely the capital of the southeastern part of the United States. And to your tune of HCBUs and young people, they all want to move to cities. All the young people, if you live in Montgomery, Alabama, and you go to Alabama State or Alabama A&M, and they almost always want to take the opportunity to move here because, you know, for a long time, Atlanta was, it's justifiable. It was a city that was too busy to hate. There's too much money here. There's too much progress driving forward that sometimes the politics, and you've seen it sway a little bit in the last couple of years, but for the last 20, it has remained literally, business is the tail that wags the dog in this town. When you look at the projects that you're designing and for specifically young people, I think I'd tell you this as an elected official in the city of Alpharetta, you have for now, by the time this releases, I might not be anymore, mercifully. But Alpharetta is really good at recruiting 35 to 50 year old people here as a city. But we struggle tremendously we're not the first place you move when you come out of school. How do you address something like that? Because if you're going to take these kids from all over the Southeast and Atlanta is the capital and Alpharetta or pick another Marietta or wherever is the conduit is because it's Atlanta. When you're regionally locating, you're not necessarily concerned about that. How do cities like this one make that adjustment so that young people want to live here? 23, 24, 25. What do you see make the other cities successful that these other communities could do a better job of?
Well, let's talk about the ones that are successful. When kids come interview with me after college to just talk about, maybe not even in architecture, they just want to talk. And so we do this as often as we can. We love doing it. Where are they moving to? Nashville, Charleston, Austin. Those three cities primarily. Why?
And they're all awesome.
They're all awesome. Unbelievable food scene. Unbelievable music scene, right? And also a pretty definitive, but for Charleston, I would say, high-tech scene, especially in Austin. So here in Alpharetta and some of the other suburbs of Atlanta, it's pretty expensive to live here as a 23-year-old. I don't know where you move, honestly. If you recall, when we did the zoning for Avalon, we had a unanimous vote for it, but people are worried about those people are going to move into our neighborhood.
And live in $4,000 apartments?
Yeah, some of them are five. So our average age there is, you know, is 54 years old.
And so you kind of, you make my point for me.
Yeah.
Because when it gets sold, and that's not anybody's fault, it makes you younger. It gives you more accessibility. It's a workforce development tool. And then you look at it 10 years on the other side, and this is not Avalon's fault. This is citywide. If you look at downtown Alpharetta, the average age there is even older.
Yes.
When you talk about affordability, how have you seen communities, and I'm not going to offer an opinion because we probably don't see it the same way. How do you address affordable housing? Because it's clearly something that you have to account for, and you see 500 times the number of projects that I do just sitting as a guy who presses the red or green button.
Well, affordable housing is a critical issue we need to address. I think we have some leadership in the city now that's heading up that component of our affordable housing group that, you know, along with people like the Integral Group that we're doing a lot of work with that are making this possible. I'll tell you about this project we did in Austin. Now, Austin's an incredibly wealthy city.
Unbelievable. It is rich.
It's very rich. And there were a lot of...
It makes us look poor.
Very much so, because there were a lot of oil men that gave oil fields to the University of Texas or to Texas A&M. And some of these folks gave oil fields to Austin, Texas as the capital. So we were working on a mixed-use project out there that they wanted 25% affordable housing, which, by the way, if you're going to put that family into an ecosystem to change their lives, that's how you do it. You have a pretty expensive place to live, part of it's affordable because the city supplements. They say you got to pay 23% of your monthly income as rent, whatever that number is.
Right.
So the developer goes, how do I afford that? Austin makes up the difference. They pay the check. So the developer's taking no risk. Most cities can't do that. So how do you get to a point where you can encourage and get folks to do affordable housing? And I think there's a formula there. Some of it needs to be financed and backed up through some bond issues locally, whether we're doing this the project for Arthur Blank, currently south of Mercedes-Benz. It's a 8-acre site. It's going to be a really cool vertically integrated mixed-use deal with hospitality and a lot of music scene there. And then Friendship Baptist, which is right next door, we're doing that as well. That's 2,700 units.
That's dense.
That's dense. And that will have probably 40% affordable. And the city's working on a plan through the integral group of how to make that happen. So there's ways to get there. We got to have government assistance, just like you do in Austin. That just happens to be a really wealthy city.
Yeah. Well, I want to shift gears, because one of my favorite deals that you had your hand in is a project that you guys at home probably don't know about, and the guys who designed it are probably fine with it just that way. Mountaintop.
Yes.
If you ever get the chance to go inside the gates of Mountaintop, it is fabulous. And so I want to tell a story. I've got two friends, Kate and Michael Cease, and their mom and dad, Jerry and Mary, were kind enough when I was at Samford to take me to El Dorado in Cabo. And my life changed. and my life changed to every third person that you see is one of the most famous people that you could ever be around. Singers, actors, politicians, pick one. And I went with a friend of ours, Bob Cheeley, probably a year ago, maybe a little over. And I'd always wanted to go. And so he was nice enough to, he'd been hounding me anyway about coming up there. And Discovery Land Company is a fascinating business entity. You've got, you know, Justin Timberlake's a member at a club in Montana. Adam Levine's at a bunch of them. And you see, I love pictures of Mark Toro when he's never shy about when he's in the Bahamas. This place is it's the quintessential. If you have to ask, you probably can't afford it. And you're going to be humble. But I know that you were instrumental in putting that opportunity together. How does a project like that, and it is a golf course behind a gated community, and you have to buy the land to buy the membership, and neither of those things are affordable. But talk to me about what interested you in a project like that, because it is unique unto anything else that I know you have ever done.
It was fun working on Mountaintop. We had been going to Highlands and Cashers for years. I designed a home for Jim Griffin up in Calisasia, that's between Highlands and Cashers. And, you know, he said, how much are you going to charge me? I said, Jim, we've done so much business, I'm not going to charge you anything. He said, no, no, no. And so he sends me a contract that basically said, if we would design his home, we could use his house 10 days a year for 10 years. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s. So I signed it. I sent it back to him. And my family, my sons,
said, hell yeah, this is going to be awesome.
So we'd take it for a week every summer and had a great time. What we noticed was it was mostly really older people, not a lot of young kids, nothing really for young kids to do. One of my buddies was a member of Wade Hampton, which is a wonderful place. I'm not criticizing Wade Hampton. But his kids would never come there because you couldn't wear blue jeans, couldn't wear sandals, couldn't wear shorts. There was nothing to do but a men's golf club. And so kids aren't coming to that. So our thought with this guy who was a member at Wade, Fritz Reibert, we decided that we're going to, you know, find a piece of property up here and do a family club. And so we got with a great landowner up there who had 650 acres and another landowner that had a couple hundred that we added to that.
And Highlands then wasn't Highlands now.
No, it wasn't. So and Cashers wasn't Cashers either at
right.
that point. So I used the same partner we'd used when we developed Laurel Springs with Nicholas out of New York, Terrorbrook, Westbrook Communities, and they introduced me to Mike Melman, at Discovery. He'd never done a deal east of the Mississippi. And he came to Atlanta. We drove him up to Wade Hampton. He had on his blue jeans. He wanted to look at the clubhouse. He couldn't go in because he had on blue jeans. He said, "Lamar, we're going to kick their ass."
Yeah.
And so his whole deal was, we're going to have a lake club. We're going to have outdoor pursuits for mom and the kids, period. We're going to take care of them first, have the best women's spa, have all these programs for the youngest kids to do.
It's stupid how nice it is.
It's so cool. And he said, the golf will take care of itself.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
get Fazio and it'll be great. Don't even worry about that. We're taking care of mama. We're taking care of the kids, and it's going to be awesome. And it truly is a great place.
I remember sending you a text message. I don't know if you remember this. You may. But if you look, there's lockers there. And I mean, this club is like, you walk through the clubhouse and it is, you know, Pat Dye and George Clooney. And I see Lamar Wakefield. What number are you? 3, 4, 5, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And so I took a picture of Lamar's locker, which may be 2 down from Clooney. And I just said, "I just took a shit in your locker." And he said, "Thanks, Ben. Great to hear from you." But it's those kinds of projects to me that, you know, I don't even know where the creativity to do. You're one of the most creative guys I know.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know about that, but.
Well, and
it's
just,
a lot about researching what your intent is and Adirondack style architecture. What is that? And we knew how to put together clubhouses. And so the fundamentals of keeping wet and dry areas apart and how the pool works and how the golf experience is, but most importantly, the family and the food experience, which is the most important thing. So how you understand those fundamentals and then apply to it, the architecture is appropriate.
The thing that I think is so neat about the way that they do Mountaintop or Discovery Properties in general is the price of land is the price. And I don't care when it sells because it's only going to go up. And I love the fact that even though they always hold the bar, it's not like a, hey, it's hard this year or next year. And I'm not saying that they won't do things to increase people coming in and keeping that place revitalized, but they almost look recession proof, or they're just people that don't care.
The latter.
Yeah. They're people that don't care. Do you have any, would you ever do another deal like Mountaintop?
You know, we're working on a project currently in downtown Cashers. That's kind of cool. That's something that Cashers needs.
Is it with Mr. Meldman?
It's not with Mr. Meldman. It's with Mr. Reibert, though.
Yeah.
And so it's a hospitality play with some cabins and some very much needed food and beverage.
I want to ask you this, and we can close here. You look around Metro Atlanta as a place that you are intimately familiar with the demographics of absolutely everywhere. From ground zero where you sit today, if you were going to invest, and you only had one more dollar to invest, what part of town, would you stay in town? Would you go to the suburbs? Where would you go? And what draws your next project? Because the thing you guys don't know about Lamar is that he's not just an architect who does really cool projects. He invests in plenty of them. Where would you be looking if you were in the game in Metro Atlanta today? What's the next draw for a guy like you?
So, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, Atlanta doesn't have any natural boundaries. We don't have any water, mountains, rivers to stop our growth. And that's the reason our suburban sprawl is so dramatic. We've learned through projects like downtown Alpharetta and Avalon and Halcyon that still people want a place. And so right now, I would tell you that, you know, North Fulton's about done.
It's pretty saturated.
Saturated. We're getting ready to do another really cool Avalon-esque project in South Forsyth with Mark Toro on the Davidson Tract, 450 acres. And another one up in Coal Mountain. And the stuff is uber cool. It's got great, gritty bones to it. So I still feel like that northern half suburb is really the place to be. You know, mama's going to chase education for her kids, and that's where it is right now. So that's if I were investing, that's where I'd put my money.
I think that it's so interesting to ask people where they want to look or what they want to look to. Do you approach investing in real estate differently than you approach what projects you want to take as an architect?
Absolutely.
Is that just an IRR kind of conversation?
Totally. It's totally that.
That's the reason I ask, because I recognize that people probably bring you in to make something really special, and that you have the opportunity to chase that around. But I've talking with you is fast. I learned something. I stop by Lamar's office probably once a quarter and just shoot the shit for an hour. But just to learn from him, or have a guy like him sit there and look over pro formas and what you're doing and what you're looking at for your next move, because a guy knows everybody. Lamar, thanks for coming in, man.
My pleasure, Ben.
It is it's an honor and a privilege to have you. I could talk to you about the things that you've done. Well, I want to talk to you about the sailboat in Dubai next time.
Fair enough.
have a good day, everybody. It's been another episode of the Ben Burnett Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.